Tonight, sex and politics. Facing allegations of sexual harassment, Democratic Senator Al Franken says he's ashamed and embarrassed, but remains committed to his work, while the longest-serving member of Congress steps down from a top position on a powerful committee while he is investigated. The best deal, how retailers both online and in stores are fighting for holiday shoppers, including adjusting the price if you can find it cheaper. Highway attack, a gunman opened fire on a busy turnpike, injuring two motorists in what police are investigating as road rage. Life and death message, the stark new anti-smoking ads appearing this weekend, paid for by the tobacco companies themselves. And pedal power, the man who believes all kids should have the chance to ride a bike, no matter how big the challenge.
This is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. The cultural reckoning that began with allegations of sex crimes against Hollywood insiders today shook the nation's capital as lawmakers responded to sharp criticism of inappropriate behavior. One of the most prominent Democrats in the House, Representative John Conyers, stepping down from his role as the top Democrat on the powerful House Judiciary Committee. And today, Democratic Senator Al Franken spoke publicly for the first time, addressing accusations he groped women. Senator Franken says he won't resign and will be back at work tomorrow. Our Kelly O'Donnell has the latest.
After 10 days out of sight and under scrutiny,
I have a long way back to win back the trust of the people of Minnesota.
Senator Al Franken finally speaks out.
I've especially let down the people who have seen me as a champion for women.
Franken has been accused by four women of unwanted advances. Today, he spoke only to Minnesota local reporters from TV, print, and radio.
This has been a shock to me.
Al Franken from Minnesota.
Franken's star wattage as a national figure in the Democratic Party has dimmed after accusations.
In some of these encounters, I've crossed a line.
Before politics, he had a long career in comedy. Franken addressed his behavior in this 2006 photo with accuser Leanne Tweeden, who says he forcibly kissed her.
I am ashamed of that photo.
But Franken claims no memory of touching a woman's backside while taking a photo in 2010.
I would never intentionally do that.
Franken says he will not resign.
I'm going back to work tomorrow.
But another lawmaker with 52 years on Capitol Hill is under pressure.
John Conyers is an icon in our country.
Leader Nancy Pelosi sent a signal.
He will do the right thing in terms of what he knows about his situation.
88-year-old Michigan Democrat John Conyers is giving up his powerful Judiciary Committee post, while an ethics review looks at a sexual harassment allegation that led to a settlement. But Conyers denies any wrongdoing. Across politics, a kettle is whistling. With 2 weeks before Alabama's Senate race, Roy Moore is accused by several women, some of them teenagers at the time, of improper sexual advances. Republicans are divided.
It is pretty clear to me that the best thing that Roy Moore could do for the country is to move on.
Democratic candidate Doug Jones campaigned while President Trump pushed for Roy Moore's victory without ever naming Moore. Can't let Schumer Pelosi win this race. Liberal Jones would be bad. Some Republicans have urged President Trump to persuade Roy Moore to leave the race, but he's ignored that pressure. He cites Roy Moore's denial of any wrongdoing. And so the net effect is that President Trump is indirectly endorsing Roy Moore. Kate?
Kelly O'Donnell tonight, thank you. For more on all this, let's bring in Mark Murray, our senior political editor. Mark, let's talk about this closely watched Senate race in Alabama, December 12th. A lot of Senate Republicans have said Moore should drop out. The president's supporting him. What happens if he wins?
Yeah, Kate, this is really turning into a no-win situation for Republicans. If Roy Moore does end up winning, you're going to see Democrats trying to label the Republican Party as the party of Donald Trump and Roy Moore, certainly as we head in the 2018 midterm elections. But if Roy Moore ends up losing, then Republicans would be find themselves in a situation where Democrats are one seat closer to a potential Senate majority in 2018 if there is a wave.
And, Mark, this is a big week on Capitol Hill. The president trying to get his tax plan passed, Congress sprinting to make a deal on spending before the end of the year. How could all these allegations of sexual misconduct impact legislation?
Yeah, this entire story that we've been seeing, Kate, has been a political earthquake that has been shaking Washington. And congressional insiders and close observers have told me that they're bracing for future allegations in the weeks and months ahead. However, when it comes to tax reform, and that's the really big political issue that's going to be going on over the next couple of weeks, that it's really up to 51 votes, that if Republicans can get 51 votes, and we're looking at the Lisa Murkowskis of Alaska, John McCain of Arizona, that that matters more in the short term, even though this story has a long-term problem for both Democrats and Republicans going forward.
Mark Murray, thanks so much. The numbers are coming in on this all-important shopping weekend, and the big winner, no surprise, online retailers. But how do you know if you're a winner, getting the best deal you can? Business correspondent Jolene Kent is covering it all. She has our report.
The doorbuster deals ushered in a record-breaking holiday shopping weekend. But instead of in stores, much of the spending surged online, as retailers made a record $5 billion online by the end of Black Friday. That's up 17% from last year. More than half of online shopping happened on mobile devices. This as in-store foot traffic on Black Friday slowed down by about 1%. But some struggling department stores are still calling Black Friday a victory. The CEO of Kohl's announcing the chain had a record-breaking Thanksgiving weekend, with sales and traffic very strong, both online and in-store, well ahead of last year. Macy says the cold weather is helping sell more coats and boots.
The traffic in our stores is actually slightly better than last year.
To capture more customers in person, certain chains like Best Buy, Kmart, and Macy's are guaranteeing price adjustments if customers can find a better deal elsewhere. But the very best discounts, especially on electronics and clothing, are expected tomorrow on Cyber Monday. Adobe forecasts Americans will spend a record $6.6 billion online in a single day, which would make it the biggest online shopping day in U.S. history. And Amazon is expected to come out on top. But the deepest discounts may require a little extra strategizing.
When you're shopping online, you can add items to your cart and then walk away from your computer, give yourself a day to think about it, and some retailers will actually send you a coupon to try to get you to complete the transaction of what's in your cart.
And the sales won't stop on Monday as discounts continue through the rest of the week.
Joe, a lot of us have to work on Monday. Is there a way to know that you're getting the best price for something without spending all day long on the computer?
Yeah, absolutely. What you should do, experts say, these shopping experts tell us, is to actually do some price comparison, but have a little help. Use a website like Camel, which can actually help you do some of that price comparison and make sure you're getting the best price. Second, you also might want to install an internet extension on your internet browser. It's something like Honey. It can actually scour the internet for you to make sure you get those coupon codes you may not even know about right now. And third, remember, Cyber Monday is not just about stuff. It's not just about TVs and clothing. It's also about good deals on travel and experiences. Kate.
Jolene Kent out at the Mall of America. Thanks so much. On this busy travel weekend, a Florida man is under arrest tonight for what police believe was an act of road rage. Authorities say the gunman opened fire on a major highway in Florida yesterday, injuring two motorists. Kerry Sanders has more tonight from Orlando.
A terrifying attack on the Florida Turnpike near Orlando.
Shooter was in a gray Toyota.
A shooter firing 12 shots at this red car in broad daylight in what police are investigating as an act of road rage.
Additional callers now advising two patients.
Rushed to the hospital, a 37-year-old man and his 17-year-old niece. Today, they're recovering with just minor injuries. Late today, troopers arrested 33-year-old Kwanzaa Donald, charging him with two counts of attempted murder, a handgun found in his car. This is just the latest case of a growing problem. Nearly 80% of drivers in the U.S. have admitted to experiencing significant anger behind the wheel. Incidents involving a firearm have more than doubled from 2014 to 2016. This summer, 18-year-old Bianca Robertson shot in the head just days after graduating high school. She had merged from two lanes to one when the shot was fired.
This person that took her took so much out of this world.
A 3-year-old boy shot and killed in Arkansas.
I said, oh my God.
The other driver apparently became enraged the boy's grandmother wasn't moving fast enough at a stop sign. And a truck driver narrowly escaped with his life after a motorcyclist kicked a car on a busy freeway, leading to a horrific chain reaction crash.
Florida has among the highest rates of road rage reported to police, and often in this state it includes gunfire. Experts say one reason we see increased road rage during a holiday weekend like this, there is just so many more people on the road. Kate?
Carrie, thank you. 2 days after more than 300 people were killed in that attack on a mosque in Egypt, the assault was condemned today at a counterterrorism summit of Muslim nations in Saudi Arabia. That country's crown prince said the biggest threat from terrorism is not only killing innocent people and spreading hate, but, quote, tarnishing the reputation of our religion and distorting our beliefs. The crown prince is also a driving force behind unprecedented changes taking place in Saudi Arabia lately. NBC's Keir Simmons is there and has our report.
Tonight, a stunning look inside conservative Saudi Arabia, a country once afraid of change. Now it seems changing all at once.
What was your reaction when women were given permission to drive?
I started screaming and jumping, and I think I was crying a little bit.
Women mixing with men, a freedom taken for granted in America, is revolutionary here. At a recent convention, women networking with male colleagues and concerts banned in the capital, Riyadh, for 25 years.
I can see huge difference. Every month, new things are allowed.
Behind the changes, Saudi Arabia's crown prince. His populist message in tough economic times, jobs, 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 aimed at the 70% of Saudis who are under 30.
These are vast changes and tremendous changes that will transform our nation and make us into a stronger, much more dynamic society.
Prince Mohammed bin Salman imprisoning fellow princes in a five-star hotel and, supported by President Trump, confronting Iran, unnerving the volatile Middle East. But his kingdom, with its hardline religious tradition, criticized for fomenting extremism, still has a deeply conservative side. Saudi Arabia, with its modern malls, has been changing, but slowly. Women still need permission from their husbands simply to travel. At home, Swad's mum remembers an earlier era.
No TV, no radio, no song, no pictures, nothing.
Now women here on the front line of change.
You give people a taste of something and then you take it away, and I don't think they're going to react kindly to that. I am hopeful.
An upheaval underway, both exciting and frightening, for a country where change does not come easy. Keir Simmons, NBC News, Saudi Arabia.
This country's biggest tobacco companies began running new ads this weekend telling the public their products can kill. It was a day of reckoning for big tobacco, ordered more than a decade ago to correct deceptive claims about smoking. Steve Patterson has the details.
Smoking kills, on average, 1,200 Americans every day.
More They're short and stark.
There is no safe level of exposure to secondhand smoke.
This week, these ads are hitting television networks and major newspapers across the country.
There is no safe cigarette.
All directly addressing the negative impacts of smoking.
All cigarettes cause cancer, lung disease, heart attacks, and premature death.
The ads are paid for by the tobacco companies themselves, part of a federal court order.
It is a really big watershed in terms of the industry actually coming clean for the first time ever about the health effects of smoking.
It's the end result of a Justice Department racketeering lawsuit against Big Tobacco stemming back to 1999, claiming the companies lied.
It has been a campaign designed to preserve their enormous profits. Whatever the cost.
Come to where the flavor is. Come to Marlboro Country.
In 2006, a federal judge ruled defendants have publicly denied, distorted, and minimized the hazards of smoking for decades. But a decade of appeals tied up the action.
We really hope that this will help people and save lives.
The ads are ordered to run for at least a year.
When you smoke, the nicotine actually changes the brain. That's why quitting is so hard.
A court-ordered course direction, decades in the making, now airing in millions of homes. Steve Patterson, NBC News, Los Angeles.
And a major deal in the publishing world could be right around the corner. Reuters says Meredith Corporation, which owns magazines like Better Homes and Gardens and Family Circle, is nearing a deal to acquire Time, Inc. for about $2 billion. Meredith has made two previous attempts to buy Time. Still ahead tonight, the recycling revolution, giving new life to things that might seem almost impossible to reuse. Also, one man's personal mission, creating Wonder Wheels so kids with physical challenges can enjoy the freedom to ride. Despite a growing emphasis on recycling in this country, most of what we throw out still winds up in landfills or polluting the ocean. But it doesn't have to be that way. As one man and one company are proving, they've found a way to recycle just about everything, as NBC News Chief Environmental Affairs Correspondent Ann Thompson reports.
On the shores of Maryland's Masonville Cove, a littered landscape.
I found, within the past hour, maybe at least 100 bottle caps.
Just some of the 8 million tons of plastic that end up in our oceans each year.
I hope they get turned into things people can use.
This plastic pollution will be processed into pellets to become shampoo bottles, the brainchild of TerraCycle, a New Jersey company recycling items once thought to be non-recyclable. Cigarette filters become ashtrays, bakery wrappers, pencil cases, even those ubiquitous coffee capsules turned into raw materials for new products.
Tom, is there anything you can't recycle?
Everything is recyclable. It's just really a question of economics and then providing the systems and the excitement for people to do it.
We first met Tom Zaki in 2008.
Put some little bit of heat and a little bit of pressure and make a fabric.
Since then, the firm's expanded its collection efforts to 21 countries. Anyone can buy TerraCycle's collection boxes. Then manufacturers like Procter & Gamble and L'Oreal pay TerraCycle to make the unusable usable again.
So what are we walking on?
This is all old wine corks and flip-flops made
really?
Into a surface used for playgrounds and, of course, here.
Oh, my gosh. And this picnic bench?
This is 100% used juice pouches.
Today, Americans only recycle about a third of their waste. So TerraCycle's design lab is working on ways to get us to do more.
So this is a box that could get installed into any recycling bin. And you, like, put your bottle or can in the bin, and it gives you a compliment.
Who wouldn't want to recycle if every time you do it, somebody goes,
yeah, high five!
In the business of finding solutions for pollution, making sure opportunities don't go to waste. Ann Thompson, NBC News, Trenton, New Jersey.
High five. Up next, going the distance for a man who's turning 100. Spectacular scenes from the Indonesian island of Bali as a volcano sent up a huge cloud of smoke into the sky. Officials say at this point it's all ash, but they are concerned about the possibility of a strong explosive eruption. They say Bali is safe right now, except for the area right around the volcano. There's late word tonight that the smoke has forced the closure of the airport on Bali. A rare sight over England this weekend, a fireball in the night sky, unusual for its large size. There were dozens of sightings reported in England, Wales, and France. While smaller meteors are often seen burning up as they enter Earth's atmosphere, fireballs of that size are far less common. And here in this country, it was 100 miles for 100 years. In honor of Orville Rogers' 100th birthday, dozens of his family members ran a combined total of 100 miles. In Dallas, the World War II vet has run 5 marathons himself over the years and ran the last mile with his family. When we come back, one man's passion, helping all kids enjoy the freedom of riding a bike. In this season of giving, one Minnesota man is making sure kids with physical challenges can still experience the freedom of riding a bike. His name is Jack Carlson, and he's been in the bike business for 40 years. But these days, he says his biggest passion is rebuilding bikes so that everyone can ride. Boyd Hooper from our affiliate KARE in Minneapolis has the story.
Freedom.
Pedal this way.
Woo-hoo. Wheels and spokes. And freedom.
Biking, pedaling, best as you can.
Freedom forged by a callous-handed, garage-minded,
there we go,
spark-spangled champion of those in need of freedom.
She's pointing out,
I want a bike, you know, I want to ride a bike. Your feet don't touch the pedals.
Those feet.
How are you doing?
Those feet belong.
Busy girl.
To 3-year-old Carly McDermott.
There we go.
Need a hand.
That is the smallest they make.
Because a princess bike still isn't small enough.
Exactly. Yes.
For Bobby Joe and Adams. Princess.
The short name is SEMD Strudwick. Who's on there?
Carly has a form of dwarfism. Lila.
I like it.
Has cerebral palsy.
I guess I'm gas.
Maddie.
Woohoo!
And her sister Sydney. Have heart transplants. All among the children on bikes. Because of Jack Carlson.
They said it wasn't possible, and here he is picking up all these different parts and putting it together in this, like, puzzle.
14 inches right here from seat to floor.
It's about to be.
And there's only one like it.
Carly's turn.
Let's see how she likes it.
What is that? That's your bike, honey. Put your feet apart. Look at the big girl. Look at that.
Wheels up on Carly's first taste of freedom.
Makes me happy she can be like other kids. Keep turning. Good job, Carly.
Freedom stored for 100 summer days ahead.
This way.
In a garage.
Do you like your bike?
Mm-hmm.
Freedom born in 1-2.
Every kid should be able to ride a bike. It's just a freedom thing.
No one can stop me.
Boyd Hupert, NBC News, Eden Prairie, Minnesota.
That is just a great way to end a holiday weekend. That's NBC Nightly News on this Sunday. Lester Holt will be in tomorrow. I'm Kate Snow. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.
More Americans watch NBC News than any other news organization in the world.